time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation.
Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation.
In these tough economic times, we all must make sacrifices. And yours is the family vacation. So this year, instead of Disney World, you're going to Backyardland.
It's a small yard after all.
Wow, this resort has all the comforts of home.
That's because it is home, yeah.
So when you see your neighbor pack up the family in his minivan, drive around the block and pull back into the driveway excitedly yelling, "We're here!" Don't think he's crazy. He's Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation, a real American hero.
Mr. This Year I'm Taking a Staycation.
You sent me a postcard from your den? Gee, thanks.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 2nd. We're back in the studio live as usual.
Da, 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 da.
We should actually do 7 days, huh? Would you come here on the weekend, too? Maybe you would.
At this point, I need to make more cash. So yeah, let's do it. In fact, I'll do it all day. What do you need? You need me to scrub something? I can do that.
You're okay as long as you're talking, huh?
As long as I'm talking, getting a little cash in my pocket, let's do this. so let's do it. Yeah. Okay, guys, we're starting
let's
up.
Let's do it. This item in the news, I got to bring this up, man.
What?
The headline is Smoking Baby Reportedly Has Quit. Now, there's a toddler in Indonesia that has been smoking 40 cigarettes a day.
Is this in the Enquirer?
No, this is CNN.
How does a baby
and
smoke?
It's true. I don't know, but if you see this picture, I'll show it to you later. It's on CNN.com. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, a little kid smoking cigarettes, you know.
And who's supplying the kid 40 cigarettes?
I guess the parents or something. So they got him to quit, actually, with a 30-day rehab program. So this is in Indonesia. And I guess they're saying that the tobacco industry there markets its products to children. So that's why that is. But aren't you glad you're in America?
I mean, yeah, but, you know, and at this point, I guess there's no, like, laws against, like, abuse. I guess that's just stupid to even ask, huh?
Yeah, I guess,
it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Okay,
so they say he has stopped smoking and doesn't ask for cigarettes anymore.
He should be asking for like, you know, a rattle or something.
Yeah.
You know, not the kind. Anyway.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a toddler. He looks like he's 3 years old or something, you know?
A cigarette? Are you
kidding?
That's
40 cigarettes a day. I don't smoke that many.
Poor kid, man. That's ridiculous.
I know. But you know what they're saying? They're saying it actually affected him.
Oh, no
and,
shit.
And,
really?
Yeah, caused the boy's brain to shrink. So.
Well, of course it's going to affect him.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't. I don't know. I don't even know how to respond to this right now. I just don't even know what to say. But, celebrity sighting.
Yeah.
Me.
Oh, you did?
Me.
Really?
Me was a celebrity.
You were the celebrity.
Let me just tell you what happened. Okay, so anyway. So I went home and I got ready and I went to go on a hike. But I live about 2 miles away from Runyon Canyon, which is in Hollywood. And I'll run or walk to the hike and then do the hike and then run or walk home, whatever. And yesterday I was just, you know, feeling the groove, the vibe. So I basically danced. I'm not lying, but this is just how I am. I danced the whole 2 miles to the hike, okay? Cars, rush hour traffic, they were enjoying themselves. I should have had a donation cup with me. I probably could have made some cash, but I just didn't plan this out, but next time I will. But anyway, just having a fun time, you know, working on my moves, you know, George Michael, we could Beyonce, you know, I just had some really good beats going on in there, right? You know, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm up near the canyon and about to go hike, and this kind of SUV stops me, and they're like, hey, are you Britney Spears? Like, Britney, like would Britney Spears be like walking around dancing, trying to prove her moves? I don't think so. But what I was like, no, I'm not. But you know, da, da, da. So anyway, they were following me, and they were videotaping me, and they got my moves on tape, and they asked me to stop and do some of my cool moves and stuff. So I was like, watch this.
Are
shit.
You kidding
no,
me?
No, you know me, I'm gonna totally ham it up. So I was like, did my Sierra moves. Sierra's got a good jam out. And I started doing my dance. Anyway, I came back to chat with them. These kids are young, man. One was 20, one was 23. Mm-hmm. And they're just like living it up, chasing down, you know, wrangling up these celebrities. And apparently Lindsay Lohan was like in a house right by where I was by the hike. And they're looking at the different exits of where she's going to come out and stuff. And it's just nuts. But it was just, you know, only in LA will people like, you know, take some idiot like me and like, hey, do your dance moves. And then they're going to put up on you. They're putting it up on YouTube. And I was like, check out latalkradio.com. Yeah. Oh, Sam and Karen in the morning. What?
Well, maybe. Yeah. Well, maybe you are ready for stardom, you know?
Well, it needs to happen quick because I got some bills due. So let's get this thing on the road.
Okay.
You guys hear it, star people? I need y'all to find me. Let's work it out. Anyway.
All right. So. Well, sounds good. So just keep running and dancing. So you were dancing in the streets. That's what you were doing.
Everybody's dancing. Oh, dancing okay. in the streets.
Well, we've got a great guest in the studio. We're going to bring them in. We have Reese, of course. Reese, good morning to you.
Sam.
You're ready to get on the mic now.
Sam, it's good to see you, Sam and Kara. Thanks of for having
me. Hello, Reese. You guys, he has a shirt on that's Reese Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah.
And he's playing off of it.
I tell you something, if you find anything that's got your name on it, buy it.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's
man.
True, yeah. I don't know what Kara's going to find with her name on
you
it.
You never know. She could find one of those bicycle license plates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
You should wear it around your neck like bling. Someone will want to stop and talk to you and put you on YouTube just
oh
wearing that.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good. And more ways to, you know, try to figure out my purpose in life. I like it. Yeah, let's do it.
There you go. Figure out your purpose in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Reese, you brought your nephew with
I
you.
I did. My nephew Louis is here.
Yes. Welcome, Louis.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. This is LA. This is what radio in LA is like, you know. But don't take my word for it. Just sit here for a few minutes and see what happens.
And you'll get a glimpse right into it. Yeah, Louis visiting me from New York. He's about to start his senior year in high school, and we were having a little last summer jam before he gets back to work.
Sounds good. How long have you been here in town already?
3 days, 4 days.
That's all?
Yep.
Really?
Wow,
oh,
you're really
wow.
showing him the sights.
I thought
huh?
you'd been here
hey,
all summer.
He's been having fun. Tell him where you were yesterday.
I went to the set of Disney's Prom.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I mean, you're hooking him up is what I'm saying. You're hooking him up.
The hook up has been getting on. Let me tell
you. Like, you're like, hey, this isn't just like what I did on my summer vacation with my uncle, right? This
is
like,
we're not going to museums. We're kicking it on movie sets. We're going to a taping of the Soup later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm gonna say hey to my buddy Joel McHale and introduce him to Louis.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, this just in. I'm the cool uncle.
Yeah.
There you are. I'm sure
now,
he knows that
by
now.
Do you like being the uncle?
You know, well, yes. The answer to that is absolutely. I love being an uncle.
I mean, you have to say he's sitting right there, too.
Yeah, because he's within
hey,
strike.
Hey, Louis, can you take off those headsets for a second? Yeah.
He's within striking distance.
Yeah.
But I do love being an uncle. They're all different. And
oh,
that's
really?
What I dig about them. They all have different personalities, and I love them differently, and it's great. It's a good job.
Do you love one of them?
More?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
His sister. But I'm not telling you. I do love Sophie more than I love you and Nicholas and JC.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's rough, but you guys know that.
I can't believe you just admitted that. You
he'll get over it.
He's just giving him a hard time.
It's my job to poke him with a stick, believe me.
Yeah.
Aw, that's funny. You guys kind of look alike a bit.
Yeah. Well, he's handsome.
Yeah, he's a handsome dude, and that gets the Hispanic stuff, right?
Yes, he's definitely got that Latin thing going on.
The Latin thing.
You know, I remember I told you last time, I'm a half and half, but my sister married a full-on Colombian dude.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah, so he's all, like, Latino up in this bitch.
Right. Well, that's cool. So so you've been showing him around town. Did you go to Universal Studios and all that?
No.
You got to take him there, Reese.
Yeah.
You know, it is a bit expensive, but
no, he's doing cooler
you know?
Stuff than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Universal's a little lame, don't you?
Well, if you've been there a couple times, it's not a big deal, but you know,
Universal's
you've
fine.
Never been there.
But he's been here before.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, so it's not the first time.
No.
So you're not really touristy. You just want to see the inside,
exactly.
The
what,
underbelly of
what
LA.
What part of New York?
Long Island.
Okay, so what is that like?
Essentially, it's like being from the Valley.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a suburban warrior.
Oh, okay. So I like a warrior at the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
mean streets of lawnmowers and
yeah, exactly the mean streets of the school bus and private schools.
Yeah.
It does. It has its own challenges, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Reese, are you originally from New York too?
Yeah, grew up in Queens, in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't remember.
What's Queens like? I'm asking all the dumb.
Queens is like the Valley, too.
Is it really?
It's absolutely not like the Valley. Queens is much more urban than that. It's very blue collar. If Manhattan is sort of the white hot center of New York and the universe, Queens is just, you know, it's sort of a different shade of it.
Mm.
You watch Entourage?
Yeah.
Okay, so all those guys, those characters are from Queens. I like to tell people all the time, fuck Vinny Chase, I'm Queens Boulevard.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I've got some family living there, so I haven't really seen a lot of it. But it seems like a pretty cool place.
I mean, New York is great.
Right?
Every neighborhood has a different flavor. The, mm-hmm. You know, the Bronx, the Boogie Down is awesome.
Right.
The Boogie Down.
Brooklyn is great. They're great neighborhoods. Like, none of the cool kids can afford to live in Manhattan anymore. So everybody lives in Astoria, Queens, or Park Slope in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And all these neighborhoods are getting really, like, extra funky. You know, generationally, a lot of Italian, Indian, Latino immigrants took mm-hmm. over, you know, corners of Brooklyn and Queens. But
right.
now you're mixing in, you know, all these artists and young people in places like Astoria and just over the bridge in Brooklyn. And
mm-hmm.
it's really funking it up. It's kind of cool. It's
yeah.
really cool. You should go
yeah.
and check it out. Don't just explore
I
Manhattan.
I will. I know. I should do that. But usually when I go there, it's only for a few days, you know. So, you know, between sightseeing and seeing family and stuff, you
it's
know.
The get in, get out.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't really have a car in New York, or at least I don't get one.
You don't
yeah,
need one.
So, yeah, so to get around is a little hard.
Sam, the next time you're going to New York, I'm going to try to plan my trip to New York. I'm going to show you my New York.
Sounds
brother.
Good.
Show
Sounds
you my
good.
New York.
I'll see
world.
Another
it's
side
my world
of it.
Now.
There you go.
That'll be good. You guys should go buddy it up.
Yeah, that's
go
right.
Go bronk it up.
Same
what'd you call Boogie Down?
The Boogie Down. That's what we call the Bronx.
Oh, why?
It's the nickname.
The Boogie Down. That's cute.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
My
like,
boy Marvin's from the Boogie Down.
Is it like people dance a lot there?
Or? All the time. You would fit in perfectly. You could dance right down Van Cortlandt Park.
Raped and mugged at the same time?
No.
It's not that vibe. Okay.
No, not at all. You'd fit in perfectly. If you're dancing all over the joint, you'd fit in
perfectly.
All
over the joint. You'd dance all over the joint. Okay, I'll do it.
You'd get a lot of I mommies.
I mommy. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All the Dominican guys. You'd find a husband in like 2 seconds. I mean, like a good, hard-working Dominican guy.
Good, hard-working. He got strong back on you.
You would walk on the ground he would worship. Because let me tell you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is dance down.
No, exception. You guys don't take this like personal. Don't read into this shit, okay? But so, like, you know.
Latin guys, not your flavor?
No, not even that. I think Latin guys are hot. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there's that, the kind of Latin dude that hasn't seen a woman. Or you know what I'm talking about? Kitchen dudes. Kitchen dudes.
With their tongues
like,
hanging out.
And I make friends with them. I like diffuse it quickly. I'm like, I'm funny, You know, I make it like I'm not really girly, but even though it doesn't work, they don't give a crap. But they like look at you like, and they look at you like they've never seen a damn female. And you're like, guys,
that's
this
true.
Is just I like the attention, but this is ridiculous.
Like a starving guy looks at a sandwich.
It's like, and I mean, I would walk it like when I'd work in restaurants or something, and walk in the kitchen, and they'd be like, they'd like stop, they're like. Eggs are frying and they're like if they burn it they're just like staring at you like drool down their chin. It's
I've
just...
always wondered. You got to ask them. Do you find that this works for you? hey Chucho,
maybe
do you find
does.
That this particular tactic?
I don't know
nets
what the
you?
Deal. I don't know what the deal is. But a friend of mine who is Hispanic, he said you know a lot of those guys are from certain border towns and they're farmers and they're not really.
Yeah, that's all they know. You know,
you
I mean,
know
that's what they do back
here.
Home.
Very.
But
small
you think that you know, give them a couple months, they'll assimilate as far as getting used to seeing a variety of different women and stuff. But it doesn't seem to work.
No.
So that whole vibe of like walking down a road and the
it wouldn't be that.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Because that is not sexy.
Plus, you tend to do that to men. What can you do? You know,
I
mean,
to do
look
that.
At, take a look
effect.
In the mirror and ask, what is it about me?
I'm looking at the girl in the mirror. Anyway, no, I'm okay with it. But anyway,
yeah.
Did you know that like? Just don't do that, guys. I mean, you don't look like this kind
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah,
do.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Try not to drool at a woman you're looking to impress.
No, you're like Mr. LA, so you got better skills than that. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm, you know.
Yeah, I have skills that have been talked about in print, apparently.
Okay, let's talk
about
it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's
so
holding a Cosmopolitan magazine.
I'm actually holding up Cosmo Sweden.
Oh, that's a Swedish one.
This is now Cosmopolitan is published in dozens of languages around the world because let me tell you something. There are office sluts in every country.
Obviously.
Okay. That's mean. Okay. And they all need to know, you know, the latest on makeup tips, movie stars, and HJs. Uh-huh. So
in HJs.
Hand Johns.
Oh, okay.
The Hanji, honey. The Hanji. You're going to learn so much today.
That's HJs. Who has time to sit around and come up with these little nicknames and stuff?
All the thinkers, baby.
Yeah,
all
thinkers.
So,
did you know that, Sam?
I didn't know HJ. Okay. No.
My sister, Shazzy, Louis' Aunt Shazzy, is she is an editor. She's one of the international edition editors for Cosmopolitan magazine in
wow.
New York City.
Oh, wow.
We're very proud of her. Mm-hmm. She calls me and she says, do you mind if my colleague Alejandro Ramos calls you? She's looking to interview guys about dating in L.A. I said, yeah, sure. So she calls me, she interviews me, and then she says, yeah, and this is going to be for Cosmo Sweden.
Uh-huh.
I said, so basically you're telling the nice girls of Stockholm what they should do to net a guy in L.A.? Check it.
Wow, girl. You look like such a player! You look hot, Reese.
Oh, you big sweetie, thanks.
No, my gosh, you look really good, and all these dudes look like they're like, hey, yeah, I'm in a... They look like... Yeah, I'm in L.A., I'm having fun.
The guy just to my left, my friend Lisa, looks at it, and she goes, oh, the deep V, not working. So glad you didn't wear the deep V,
yeah.
Reese.
No, but you got like a smirky little, yeah, I got money. What?
So they interviewed you in English, but this is in Sweden,
yeah, that's
right?
The best part. Right. They interviewed me in English, and, you know, the writer sent me a thank you email. It was great, right? And she said, I promise I'll send you a copy of the magazine when it came to. So I get to my door. There's a package. I open. I'm like, hey, the magazine. I open it. I'm like, hey, I can't read that.
I can't read that shit.
I can't read that, man. I have no idea if they misquoted me. This sucks.
So you didn't know it was for a Swedish
magazine? No, I did. After she told me. And I thought, oh, that's fine. No big deal. It'll be fun. But then when it arrived, my excitement was tempered by the fact that I simply could not read it.
Yeah.
But look at him.
So I know. Yeah, you look pretty cool, man.
I had it translated.
Very nice.
Is it accurate?
The good news is yes, I was quoted accurately.
Yeah.
So I will tell you.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say? Okay. So what's the question?
The first question is who pays on the first date?
I want to hear this.
Oh, that's what Kira likes that topic.
Okay.
My answer basically was the man pays, and on the fourth, fifth, and sixth date, the man pays too. I'm kind of an old school guy.
Keep that shit up. That's gonna get you far, Reese.
If a guy's gonna ask a girl out, Louis, do you agree?
Yes, I do.
See, he learns.
Good job, Louis.
Yeah.
Good job.
So the first, yeah.
It's weird that you even have to establish that. You know what I mean? It's kind of funny. We're in a culture that you have to even have to like.
But you know what?
You know?
Boundaries are good. Establishing things and saying things out loud makes it, you know, so we all know what to do when the crisis situation erupts.
Congratulations.
So yeah, like who pays on the first date? What? My favorite question was.
What about the 10th date? No, really. I mean, at that point, do you still pay?
You want to see appreciation, so maybe she kicks up.
Here's
a
good
a
rule. Here's a good rule of thumb. Here's how I roll, Sam, because right. I know you're married and I'm still out there dating. And let me tell you something. Dating's a chore. I don't love it, but, you know, you do it so you can stop dating. I'm going to assume that if I'm on a date, I'm paying. If it's after, if I've seen this person a handful of times, like five, six times, if she says, would you let me pay this time,
right? You would.
One time I'll let it go, and we'll have to have
just
been
just once.
If we've been out like four or five times
already.
If she says that, I'd like to pay. Thank you.
Yeah, like it's my treat.
Yeah. Thank you. That's lovely of you. I would welcome that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But I try not to get used to it.
I see.
Is it because you're like, okay, so, well, whatever. I think it's established. But it's kind of like you want to maintain a specific role or you don't want to assume it because she doesn't.
I just want to, you know, I think there's certain.
She just wants to get laid. Are you kidding?
Well, yes. Yeah. The first and foremost thing is, yes.
That's how you do it.
You have boobies. I want to touch them.
Exactly. And you pay a lot of money for that. Six dinners, man.
Yeah, but I also think
that's a lot of money.
There are traditional roles that a man should assume, especially in a dating capacity.
You hear that, Louis?
He's learning.
Good job. No, yeah. I think that's
Kara's with
true.
You on that.
Yeah, I think most women are. I mean, I know some women that take it to the extreme.
Yeah,
and
they use it to get a free meal.
Yeah, well, I know some women that they're like, they're just, they're well. First of all, there is a rush and a high of going out and getting prettied up and feeling like oh, I'm so. And then the door opens. The whole process can be like an adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's really easy, I think, for some women to kind of live off that rush and that high, and they're not really focusing in on the person. They're just kind of enjoying the experiences.
Enjoying the flash and not the substance.
Yeah, exactly. They're enjoying the experiences, and so they're kind of like they'll ride it out, and they'll go with other people, and they're not really zeroing in on the person, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that that's not good, and I think because this is a town of usury, a lot of men are really guarded because they are afraid that, you know, or they're like, oh, I don't want to be with another... you know, biatch that's just wanting to, you know, this,
taking advantage.
Yeah, and I know some girls kind of like that. You know, it's like.
Well, look, there's good and bad everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
And that's why the dating situation is, you know, it, like I said, it can be a chore, but it's also right. important. You do it mm-hmm. so you can find out, you know,
yeah.
if the person suits you, and then if they do, you go mm-hmm. on another date and another date.
Another date.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I
can
see the man paying a few times, but I don't like if it's expected of you, you know?
I get that.
And, you know, I mean, after a couple of dates and stuff, all they have to do is offer. You know, you probably won't take her up on it.
Right.
But at least show that you're willing to contribute to this, you know, because otherwise it's only about the man, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm taking you out, so I'll enjoy myself, and I'm going to pay for this, so you'll be here with me, you know, and that kind
well,
of
Well, there's
like,
a different school of thought. I mean, there's the idea that, you know, the woman brings a lot to the table that's not, like, so much of the physical, like, you know, like money, but that she brings, you know, fun and joy and blah, 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 blah. And then a softer side in that, you know, you're really getting to buy her company in a sense. You're really getting to be with her.
Not unlike a lap dance.
Yeah. There you go.
Kara, I'm kidding. I kid because I love.
So what's going on? Who are you dating? How's it going?
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Because
we just talked about dating, but I just did something in my apartment. I had a feng shui consultant come into my apartment.
You so would.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I really did. And let me tell you something. A, I subscribed to it. I had a friend that busted my balls. He's like, you're going to use a 3,000-year-old oracle when there were no such thing as dog beds and sofas and crap. I said, yes, you skeptical son of a bitch, I am.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, listen, I've got some good stuff going on in my life, and there's some promising and business prospects that have been cooking. My writing partner and I got a new agent. This, like, you know, some of our projects are getting steam.
Nice.
So when a friend of mine came to me, my lovely friend Audrey came to me and said, I want to get you a feng shui consultation with this woman who's amazing. Her name is Patty Robbins Vignal, and she's been doing this for years.
Mm.
She's like feng shui, you know, famous people, titans of industry. Okay. She came into my apartment, and she's not even done. She's called me a couple of times. She's like, you know, I'm coming back. I'm like, you are awesome. She spent like an hour and a half in my apartment, and I'm not kidding. The little that she did, and I have a lot to do. I have to paint. There are things I have to remove. I have to like clean all this stuff. But just the furniture that she shifted.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I agree with that. Like the psychology and the energy of the movement, and yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that.
The best indication immediately is this. Louis's been in my apartment a handful of times in his life, and when you walked in the door, did you get a sense that there was different energy in the joint?
Yeah, the whole room just seemed bigger.
Yeah. So it's like more open. It's not as
claustrophobic. Sounds like what you need is a woman, not a feng shui expert.
If you have
a woman, she'll fix
probably cost
the apartment,
a lot less.
Okay?
If I could fall in love with a feng shui consultant,
there you go.
Now, Patty Robbins Vignal, I'm sure, would welcome me loving her, but she's, I believe she's 71.
Mm. Oh, really?
May-December romance, maybe?
I see. So you'll pass on that one in that way.
But anyway, I really am excited about this. I really am.
It's a gift for people to be able to have an eye for that and understand it and see it.
It's a gift. It's a talent, and it's a privilege to have, you know, somebody, because I don't know anything about it, but I know that I believe that things have energy, and if you move them, case in point, my desk where I write was facing a wall. She looked at me and she said, you have to move that. I said, I will. Tell me why. She said, this wall is a mountain. And when you're sitting trying to be creative, if you're facing a mountain and you don't have to, why would you?
Right.
Yeah.
She moved my desk, and suddenly I feel like...
Is it near a window now?
It's actually away from the window that is my balcony.
Uh-huh.
So I just have this view in front of me now. You know, I can see daylight. So when I'm sitting and working... it just really does feel different.
Well, good. Yeah. So it works.
It does. So it far, works. So good. Well,
yeah.
I promise to keep you posted. And like, you know, if some amazing windfall happens because I've painted my apartment, I'm telling you, Sam, I'm sending her your way.
Then I'll believe it.
So, what colors are you gonna paint it?
She's talking about greens and stuff. Like right now, I have a red wall, but it's on the wood side of my home.
Yeah.
She said red means fire. Fire and wood, no good. We need to change that.
Really?
Oh, interesting. I'm like interested now.
Girl, I'm gonna hook you up.
Well, yeah.
I'm gonna give you.
Not much you can do in her apartment. There's three girls in the same room.
That's not true. But she started off by like, how about let's get rid of 500 of these roommates. It's just kind of the feng shui. The energy is too much. Okay. It is chaotic. It's for a season though, but it's chaotic.
Yeah.
The energy is really exciting. Pillow fights.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, energy that has life in my apartment. You literally have life in your apartment.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. A lot. It is. It. But, you know, it's so interesting when you live with people and you're so in close proximity. Mm-hmm. You really just... It requires a lot of you, and you...
It really does. I could never...
Well, you know, it's growth, and, I mean, everything's for a season. I mean, it's not where I want to stay my whole life, but, you know, it's... You have to... You learn patience, you learn tolerance, and you learn a lot about, like, you know, for example, I have an issue with hearing people chew.
Mm.
You know, there's worse things in life, right?
But
I'm serious. One of my roommates, she loves chips, and she loves crackers, and she loves anything... freaking crunchy, and she likes to, and she just anyway, I have a problem with it, and I'm like, you know what, Kara, you know, you do stuff that's probably annoying too. Not probably, you do stuff that's annoying.
Wait, hang on, back up. Kara and Kara?
No, I'm saying it to myself.
Oh,
third person.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
she's
okay.
Talking to herself.
Yeah, no.
I love talking to myself.
But it's
I'm
one
sorry.
Of those, like, you know, listen, you do stuff that's probably annoying too. Like, my ear itches a lot of times, and I'll, like, itch it, and then I'll make, like, a sound in my throat.
like my dog?
Like, there's probably got to be annoying as hell. Actually, they make fun of me all the time when I do it. But my point is you learn a lot of grace. You learn how to... accept each other because you need to be accepted, and you learn how to kind of see yourself in everyone, and it's really it does a lot of work behind the scenes, you know.
Grace and forgiveness.
Yeah, really.
I mean, if something irritates you, you need to look at yourself and ask
Absolutely.
Yourself why, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, every human's I mean, we're all pretty much the same, and we get you just fill in the blanks differently with whatever the issues or the stuff is. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but you live with a bunch of people, and everybody's got their own stuff and their own tensions. One day somebody's having an up day, the other person's having a stressed out day. You know,
right.
I try to not be home that much, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like,
you're at also
I don't
at that
blame
time
you.
In your life. Yeah. You're also at that time in your life where you're sharing space with people.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
like
learning
right
this stuff. And then, you know, when you go on,
yeah, well, I
you
think
lose
a lot of people sometimes, I think a lot of people, maybe because they haven't had to or their circumstances hasn't, you know, designed it for them. I don't feel like they, not everybody, but I feel like there's a lot of people that they don't learn these skills, you know. People become single, they live alone for a long time, and then they want to be with somebody, and they don't know how to compromise or how to bend their world for someone else. It's an extremely foreign concept. And
that's
I think
true.
I think having roommates kind of prepares you for if you're going to be married one day and have family.
Mm-hmm. Just to be living with another body that close, you know, to have
yeah,
another
I mean,
person
all the
in
time.
Your space.
Yeah, and not to mention, it is fun. I mean, you know,
oh, sure.
It's like, it's fun. Too.
Sometimes it is. I would.
Yeah, but
fun,
no,
right?
I mean, I think the fun outweighs it. Sometimes I'm like, but I'm, you know, I thought if I lived by myself, mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be nice, but then I'd, like, 10 minutes later, I'd be like,
yeah,
hey guys, who wants to come over for dinner, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, who just stayed the night? Here's a key. Just hang out. You know, like,
just move back in. It's fine.
Do you know what I mean? Just I'm a chatter. You. I like to like download and dialogue mm-hmm. forever.
But that's where you are now. And
yeah.
as you know, as you continue to live
yeah.
and grow, you know, your priorities and your needs will definitely
yeah,
change.
Yeah, I guess. We all stay posted if I'm here in 10 years with 10,000 roommates. Somebody have an intervention, please. Yeah. A&E or AE, come have an intervention. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I know. You better be able to afford a place of your own within a couple of years.
She will.
I'm
going to
throw you out the window.
She will. I get
a couple?
I have good. I
Please,
see good things
good,
for you.
Good.
I do.
What is this? Like
is
the rain
joke.
Dance?
She's chanting.
Mm. I don't do the rain dance thing, but it's just
you don't do the rain dance.
No.
Thing. Okay. So Reese, so what are you doing? I mean, you said you were writing and stuff. Is
yeah.
that how you make a living?
When things are good, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I also, you know, I started a business as an actor, so you know, I work, you know, on commercials too. Which,
oh, do you?
Yeah, I don't love mm-hmm. doing, but
yeah.
you know, it's good money. That's,
yeah.
You know, you whore yourself out for the nice people at Crest.
Yeah.
Crest.
But no, my writing partner Billy Mott and I, you know, we write really well together, and you know, I realized recently that in this town, there are actors everywhere and talented actors everywhere. But
mm-hmm.
if you want to make some fuck you money, you better create some content, especially in the age of the internet, you know?
Yeah.
So Billy and I started writing, and we've got a couple of TV projects that are gaining steam, one of which is, you know, sort of out in front of the other one, which is, you know, fingers are crossed. You know,
yeah.
when your agent is saying things like, all right, they sent a deal memo over. It sucks, but we'll fix it. Mm-hmm. I don't hear the it sucks. All I hear is, well, I got a deal memo.
Yeah.
And of course, none of it means anything until they greenlight something and the fucking check clears.
Right,
yeah.
exactly.
But
until you get the check.
Right, it's still exciting. And, you know, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. And then, you know, you're sitting around kind of waiting for executives to make decisions about things. And then as soon as they say yes, they want it yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I like being busy. I don't mind. It's just the, you know, we're in the place right now where we've done everything we can. I feel like the pitch pitches out of our hands, and I know it's a strike, but I'm just waiting. I'm watching it tumble in slow motion, and I'm waiting, and I just want it to hit the catcher's mitt already. Let's get that strike over the plate. Let's go.
Is it comedy or is it...
This particular thing is actually, it's reality.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Can you divulge or no?
I can divulge a little. It's a competition-based reality show, and we have it set up over at Comcast, and the executive we're working with over there is great. He's smart. He's got, you know, reality experience, and we're psyched. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's way cool.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Keep us posted and come back and talk about
it. I will come and promote the holy heck out of it here on the Sam and Kara show.
Yes.
So now, how does it work writing with another person? How do you actually do this?
Well, Billy and I have worked in the same room together, but a lot of times we trade pages. Mm. You know, we're both early risers, but I know he gets up before me, and I know he likes to write in the morning. It's funny. You know, I don't want to say Billy's a technophobe. I know he's not listening right now, but if his girlfriend's listening, she's gonna tell him what I said. He's a little bit of it's not technophobe. He's kind of an old school guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't text.
Right.
I know I'm not gonna send him a text. He's not gonna read it. He's not gonna text me back. So he had been working on this old compact computer. Remember the computers that you could put those small floppy disks into? He's been working on one of those seriously since 2 months ago. 2 months ago, that thing finally took a dump. I'm like, man, hang on for a second. First of all, telephone. Yeah, hi, 1987. Sure, Billy's right here. He wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
He would not give up the fucking ghost on that.
Really?
I could not make enough fun of him. Uh-huh. But he finally got updated, and he's updating software and stuff. And, you know, I finally got him to get Final Draft, which is the scriptwriting program. Yeah. So we finally got that. So we trade pages. I'll write stuff. I'll email him, you know, my version of stuff. He'll, you know, add changes. He'll write something. He'll send it to me. That seems to work for us right now. But we also work well in the room together.
Yeah, it's
fine. Whatever. We don't have a set style. Just whatever we're at in any particular instance.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I just never could figure out how more than one person can write a book, you know, because you actually have to sit there and talk about it.
I'll tell you this much, like with ghostwriters, you understand how ghostwriters, like Sarah Palin did not write her book. She had a ghostwriter.
Right.
Okay.
She would sit in a room with a writer and talk and they'd audio recording.
Right.
Like a ghostwriter will take notes and then go away and write.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a different thing because Palin is not writing. It's just the ghostwriter.
Exactly.
Right. So he still or she still works on their own, but when you actually both of you do the writing, I guess it's a more elaborate type of a process.
Well, it's definitely should be fluid, you know. Mm. Well, Billy and I will find the best way that works for us that day.
Mm.
You know, he might look at me and say, you know, get out. I cannot look at you. Get out. And I'll go.
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, I'll get pages. That's fine.
Sounds good.
Whatever works, baby, because daddy got rent to pay.
Yeah,
so tell us about when you're doing reality and you're writing and hammering this out, but yet it's reality. To me, the way I think of it is like you're pitching a concept.
That's exactly it.
And you've got it's slightly sketched, but you know, you're not, or scripted, but you're not really hammering out pages upon pages, are you?
No, it's fine. The other project we have is scripted.
Okay.
And there's a lot of writing involved in that.
Yeah.
It's an hour drama that we're pitching. But no, this reality thing, it's one of the things we talked about in our last meeting. There really is no writing. It's just, you know, developing concepts and how the show's going to be presented.
But
it still has to spring from the mind of creative people.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you kind of got an idea of the kind of content and the people you're looking for. Cool. Well, that's so interesting.
Yeah. Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you, my brother.
I'm sure you're going to do very well with that.
Keep us so posted. I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
I tell you, Sam, you are an inspiration. You are.
Me?
Yes, you are.
Really?
Yeah,
you got this radio
station started. And you know, I got great advice when I was working on an episode of Seventh Heaven 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the actor Anson Williams? He played Potsy Weber.
Yes, Potsy.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Potsy Weber was directing the episode that we were working on. He came over to the lunch table, just talked to the guys at work in that day, and he said, guys, I'm going to give you advice that Gary Marshall gave all of us on Happy Days. Gary came up to us once, me, Ronnie, Donnie, and he said, you guys need to learn to wear more than one hat.
Mm.
And he said, if you're an actor, be writing. If you're a writer, try directing. If you direct, make sure you produce. And that stuck with me. It really did.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So the part where just, you know, try everything that you're good at, everything you can be better at, throw it all against the wall and work hard and something will come from
it. Yeah, exactly. Something will stick.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Reese wanted to discuss the mosque deal, right?
I mean, he wrote to me the other day and stuff.
Reese has opinions about it and we wanted to discuss it. So let's bring it up because it's still very pertinent to what's going on.
Yeah, it's still in the news cycle, that's for sure.
Yeah, still controversy and stuff. So For those of you who don't know, who've lived under a rock, they're planning to build a mosque and a cultural center a couple blocks away from Ground Zero.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that don't like the idea. And, you know, some people question the legality of it. But I don't think the problem here is legal. I think it's more like ethical and being sensitive.
Yeah, sensitivity.
Right. So, Reese, what's your take on that? Go ahead.
I tell you, I wrote to you because I'd gotten into a little bit of a jam with a friend. You know, I do the thing that everybody does. I posted something on Facebook about my idea, what I thought. What I thought is, you know, what I think and a $1.35 will get you on the bus, you know?
Yeah.
But I put it on there and you know, I really did. I had a difficult experience with a friend who's very, very emotional and emotionally attached to what's going on down there. And, you know, I ended up feeling, you know, really awfully about it, but it didn't change my
Your
idea.
Your perception, yeah.
It didn't change my perception. It didn't change what I think. And it's such a difficult subject, you know, and I come at it from a couple of point of views. First of all, I'm a New Yorker, you know, like I said, I was born and raised there. But also, you know, I have a Middle Eastern background. There are Muslims in my family. I'm a Catholic. I was telling Louis that his grandfather, who was the Iranian side of my family, he detested religion. He thought it was a scam. Mm. So when he got married and had kids, he looked at my mother. He's like, "Take the church. I don't give a shit."
Yeah.
You know. And the funny thing is, he was a spiritual cat. You know.
Right.
But he didn't mm-hmm. think much of religion. So here I am, this sort of half Middle Eastern Catholic, and I'm, you know, but I'm also looking at, as we all are, as an American.
Right.
It's such a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I keep thinking about is constitutionally, they, you know, anyone who's trying to erect a house of worship has the right to do so.
Right.
Here's the thing about the Constitution. I think we write stuff down so we'll know what to do in a crisis situation.
Mm-hmm.
The time to make things up or decide how we proceed is not when passions are inflamed and when we're all in the heat of the battle. You know, I watched some of the video footage of the protest that went on down near Ground Zero. These very decent and proud Americans that want this Islamic center to not happen. Mm-hmm. And they were down there with signs. Some were, you know, vitriolic and others mm-hmm. were just, you know, touting their patriotism. And I'm watching this video, and this black dude walked through, mm-hmm. and he had a skull cap on. Now, as I looked at it, the first thing I thought was, oh, there's a Muslim dude. But mm-hmm. then I kept looking, and he was just a black dude with one of those Under Armour skull caps.
Right.
So he was just like a sport, you know, black dude walking by. And part of this crowd turned on this man. They started following him, and there was this one huge guy, this one protester, who put his hands up, and he was a foreboding presence. So he got everybody to calm down except this one guy, this one big, fat guy. I mean, he was – and I'm only describing him as big. He was huge. This guy had to weigh 300 pounds, but he weighed two. And he had a flag, and he kept following this guy.
Mm.
He was looking for the fight.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. there's a Muslim, and I'm going to fucking tell you, you're not building your fucking thing right. I mean, I'm watching this on YouTube.
That's awful.
And the black guy's like, hey, I'm a Muslim, but what I think matters too, motherfucker. I mean, he's telling everybody, get off my back. I'm just walking to work.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think – here's where it becomes problematic. Because I'm not saying that the big fat guy didn't have an opinion that matters. It does. He should not have approached this man in as threatening a manner he did. But fortunately, it did not come to blows.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is this. That guy's got an opinion. The black guy just walking to work's got an opinion. The big guy trying to keep the peace has an opinion. But everybody's opinions were really charged.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the best time to make a decision about how to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Decisions have to be made in moments of clarity, in mm-hmm. moments of peace.
Yeah.
I heard something on Tuesday night. I went to a lecture. Marianne Williamson was speaking, and she talks a lot about forgiveness. And she said she spoke in Arizona, and there were people that were on both sides of the issue of the law mm-hmm. about illegal immigration. And they started by sitting in 2 minutes of silence, just thinking about the other person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She said after that, it was the most peaceful and successful conversation that she had ever borne witness to about that very charged and difficult subject. Mm-hmm. And one woman even said, you know, I grew up thinking, send them all back, send them all back. They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be here. But that woman said, of her own volition, I totally get that they come from these difficult places with no futures, and that's why they'll risk their lives to come over here. If we can get people aligned with the 9/11 families and those that are trying to support the mosque going up to talk to each other this way as opposed to the way that it went down on this mm-hmm. YouTube video, there might be a solution in the offing. There might be. I don't know what the solution is. I just know that if we start making decisions about who can and can't worship where and when based on how we feel about something, that's a dangerous way to go. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that it's a slippery
slope. That's your opinion.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a Catholic. If somebody tried to hang what the KKK does mm-hmm. in the name of Christianity around my neck mm-hmm. while I'm walking into church, I got truck with that. I got a real problem with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll take it a step further. Look, the 12-year-old kid from Brooklyn whose mother is single and has to work late and they're Muslims and that's going to be the place that he can go to after school mm-hmm. to safely take a cooking class or even, you know, have evening prayers. He's not the enemy. Mm-hmm. He's not the enemy. Now, is that particular building the place where he should go? Should the building be moved? That's a separate conversation. But there are charged mm-hmm. and vitriolic statements going back and forth about how that person mm-hmm. is somehow responsible for our pain and our loss.
I don't think that's the point, Reese. Let me tell you what it is. I think it's obviously not an illegal thing to build it there, but I think there needs to be some kind of sensitivity on the Muslims' part. Even if none of them were responsible for 9/11, the point is that it's become a sacred ground. There's many families, you know, that they remember everything. They remember what's going on. I mean, this was like a profound attack on the United States, you know. Being from Israel, it's like we're sort of like we've seen it happen for years, so it's never like a big deal. But here, it became a big deal because it was the first time and we didn't expect it. So I think if there's so much, you know, controversy about this, I think the people responsible should ask themselves, well, is it really worth, you know, fighting with all these people and offending all these people if we can just take it somewhere else? So that's the opinion of the people that are against the mosque. And again, I'm not saying that there are any people there that should be you know, persecuted for what other people have done. But at the same time, I think that since it's created so much problems, if the Muslims want to really be integrated into society, they need to show that there's tolerance on their part as well and sensitivity. So I think as far as like, again, it's not an illegal thing to do, but I think as far as judgment, I would question that.
Right. There's the issue of just because you can, should you? And if they want to be good Americans, they might want to think about leaning in and taking one for the team, which is a good baseball expression. You know, and I really get that.
Right.
You know, yeah, you know, we did. We took a shot on that day. You know, we're coming up on the anniversary, and mm-hmm. it's a difficult time for all of us as a country. And you know, our friends in Israel looked at us, you know, very lovingly and with a lot of empathy and said, yeah, welcome to the club.
Right.
Because people in Tel Aviv have been and Jerusalem have been living, you know, mm-hmm. With this awful reality for a long time. And it skews how we look at things. Yeah, I'm with you that the issue of being sensitive to the people who were profoundly and directly affected by it. But that's not everybody.
No, it's not everybody. But you know what? Everybody has been affected by it. When you go to the airport and you try to get on a plane, when you go into buildings, mm-hmm. when you go anywhere, you know, it's like they changed our lives forever.
Yeah.
And again, we don't make generalizations on this, but it was done by Islamic people, and it seems like many Muslims hate the West around the world, and that's what we see, that's what we live with, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something that we have to sort of, yeah, like learn how to live with.
I get that, I really do. Moderate, you know, Islam has to be courted, though.
Right.
You know, the Arab street is going to, you know, find something to be enraged about. Mm-hmm. They're watching. They're always watching. You know, I had a conversation with somebody once about how these were barbarous, evil people you know, that perform this act, but they're not stupid. Mm. You know, this was a chess move as far as they're concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, this was not just tactical; it was mm-hmm. strategic.
Yeah,
it was an attack on our way of life. And you know, mm-hmm. if you don't have smart bombs and you don't have Black Hawk helicopters, how do you fight a power like America? You do something to get them to destroy themselves. Mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah, there are things that we can do. Moderate Islam has to be courted and has to be encouraged and nurtured so we can get to that 12-year-old kid from Brooklyn and not have him, you know, experience, you know, awful invective and mm-hmm. despicable things hurled at him, so that when he grows up, he'll have a reason to participate in the American experience and do so successfully and prosperously, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying, well, you know, those people didn't want me, so what are they talking about in the madrasa?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I was getting emails from a really cool dude in Saudi Arabia, and, you know, kind of discussing the what we've been talking about a bit, and he really just wanted to clarify that, you know, what happened on 9/11 and everything, those are terrorists. They're not. It's not about being Muslim or Islam. Those are terrorists. And he goes, you know, long before the U.S. got involved and was trying to get rid of Osama bin Laden, they kicked out Osama bin Laden. They've been fighting terrorism within their own country for years and years before it even happened to the U.S. And it kind of, you know, made me think, you know, it's a very divided situation where, you know, there's a lot of people in Islam that they don't subscribe to that. They're not supporters of it, and they're victims of it themselves. And he really wanted to clarify, you know, like that it is terrorism, it's not Islam. And I did say, well, you know, it does spring the question of, well, why do you see most terrorist acts coming from or stemming from this region and this particular religion?
It's not only the perpetrators, though. I mean, when 9/11 happened, you saw people going out in the streets and celebrating, like Palestinians and stuff. I don't know in other countries, I don't remember, but there was a lot of celebration going on, and by people that are not the terrorists. And that's, I think, what's bothering a lot of people.
It bothered me too, but I don't want to interrupt you, Garrett, but I will tell you this. I'm always a believer that there are more of us than there are of them. I believe that there is more love and more hope and more promise than there is evil in the world. There always will be. There were people dancing in the streets in some of the Palestinian territories. I'm not making that up. That was something that is mm-hmm. burned in my memory because I saw it on CNN. Right. But I want you to know something. In Tehran, and during the evening prayers, mm-hmm. since the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, they always wrap it up with death to America. I'll tell you this much. In Farsi, it essentially, there's no word for the word they use. It really means down with America. That's mm-hmm. what they're saying. Right. But the only word to say it in English is death to America. They have been saying death to America during the evening prayers since the Islamic Revolution of 1979. Do you want to know when they stopped?
Hmm.
They stopped on September 11th, 2001.
Hmm.
In Iran. In Tehran. Because even that country that has real problems politically with us and the West, even they looked at it and said, oh, man, that is not a good sign. That is not a good sign for us, and that is a barbarous act. Now, listen.
Did they come out and say that we retract those statements? Or no,
it's not that they retracted
those statements.
They stopped saying death to America. They actually started back up. I'll tell you when they started back up. When George W. Bush gave his address to Joint Congress and named an axis of evil that included Iraq, North Korea, and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, and it's just a political thing. Then the mullahs were like, oh, really? You're going to roll like that? Okay, well, death to America again. All right, back to business. And that's just politics. Mm. But from a humanity standpoint, there were a lot of people, even in Islamic cultures, that stood with us.
Hmm.
And they do now. It's like you were saying. Hmm. And Sam, I really believe this for every one jackass that will dance in the streets when something happens in Tel Aviv or here or in South America, there are 10 people that you won't see dancing around, but that you know that they fall on the side of good and they fall on the side of what's right. We just have to make sure to get those voices in the same room.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's all up for debate. I think I agree with the spirit of it, and you know, I think it's important to, like you said, kind of, you know, encourage and court the moderate element to, you know, Islam and really kind of give them a voice more.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I salute your willingness to open up dialogue and you know, and to really communicate rather than fight and so forth. But unfortunately, you know, the West has seen a lot of violence from Muslims, and that's just the way we view it.
That's where we are right now, man. Yeah. That's where we are right now. But I'm telling you, love is the key, my brother.
I agree.
Okay,
I know, I do. I agree.
But you try and tell them that when they want to blow you up in your family.
Sam is pretty much adamant about this. We've gone round and round, but
I appreciate his perspective.
I do too. I think it's coming from a different point. My heart goes out to people that are you know, in their faith, and they're automatically having to fight the fact that they have to fight your prejudice so that before they can even be heard. Right. Because they have to put out all these fires. You know, like this guy that's emailing me, really sweet guy, he's got to address all of the, you know, preconceived ideas and all of the different, you know, stuff. I mean, as a Christian, I have to fight that too when I'm in certain arenas too. It's like if I want to share my faith or somebody asks me my opinion on something, I have to put out all the fires of their issues with God, what Christianity's done to them in the past, their view of religion. That all has to be diffused before they can even hear what I actually have to say.
Exactly.
And it's tiresome, and it's, you know, it's a lot of work, but, you know, so my heart goes out to people that are like, you know, damn.
Yeah.
They're probably not saying damn, but
they're saying, anyway, yeah.
We got to wrap it up, folks. Reese, do you want anybody to find you? Do you want to give any?
Yeah, sure. You
stuff?
Can you can follow me on Twitter, Reese Golchin, R-E-E-S-E-G-O-L-C-H-I-N.
Sounds good. Like, we'll follow you on Twitter.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, thank you for coming in, Reese. We always love having you here.
You're a prince, Sam.
Okay,
thank you,
Louis, thank you for joining us as well. Enjoy yourself in L.A. and safe trip back.
Okay, thank you.
And Kira, thank you. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Okay.
You have been listening to Sam and Kira in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.